Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition and another, let's call it choppy week for markets, for metals. Pretty much everything that I'm seeing is moving more and more in tandem. We seem to have had a little bit more, I guess, short-term optimism, or at least a little bit more money put into play into the markets, as we are seeing some of the, let's say, more speculative areas move slightly higher. But this bounce that I think a lot of people were thinking was due for these markets, it's a bit weaker than I expected it to be. We're going to cover a lot of the markets and get into some of the metals on this weekend show. We are kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, let's start with the U.S. equity markets. We look at something like the S&P. That's up about 5% this month, and just this week, about 3.5% as we are recording this after the close of the markets on Thursday. So again, a bit of a bounce, but still kind of weak summer trading, all within what seems like still a very much bear market. What's your takeaway from at least a little bit of money being put to work this week in the markets?
Yeah, sure, Corey. Thanks. What we're seeing is, in our view, according to our proprietary stuff, is not that convincing in terms of putting in or evidence that we have put in a sustainable or durable bottom, and that we're embarking on a longer, you know, intermediate term or longer term rally. At this point, there were a lot of durable intermediate term lows. We were missing a lot of boxes in terms of a high confidence intermediate term low at the recent lows in June and July. So we're not convinced in terms of the sense that we made in an intermediate term low, missing those key criteria. And on the other hand, we have, according to our proprietary model, we're missing some key indicators, especially one of our indicators pertaining to a combination of breadth and momentum that has typically kept us on the right side of the market, even when other indicators are whippy or get whiplash. And that still has refused to turn higher, which tells us that, you know, there's still risk to the downside, even if we do continue up in the near term, because we have made some technical strides, some technical progress on the charts anyway. That does open up a little bit further short-term upside, but in the grand scheme of things, there's still enough risk out there that we don't see any reason to get aggressive or jump in or chase prices higher at this point. Like I said, there might be some further short-term upside, but in the grand scheme of things, I think the risk is still substantial that we do go back down to the lows or even hit new lows before establishing the signs that a more durable, more sustainable intermediate-term low is put in. So right now, we're still fairly defensive in our portfolio, which means, you know, we've not been killing it necessarily over the last week or so, but we're fine with that. We'll wait for evidence to appear that the risk reward is conducive for us to get more aggressive, and we're just not there yet according to our models.
Yeah, Dana, it sounds like you're in alignment with a lot of the other guests we've talked to and a lot of the other fund managers that are seeing some upward movement, but not a lot of momentum, not good breadth across the board, and maybe aren't convinced that we saw a sustainable bottom just a little while ago. And so some of them are actually looking to short the markets here. Are there any sectors, though, out of the different sectors you follow that in the general markets that you do feel good about or that you are doing maybe some short-term trading on?
Well, there's some areas short-term basis that made some that opens up near-term upside. The longer-term still not bullish on tech and small caps, but in the near term, they have made the most progress, perhaps along with the growth side of the market. So in the near term, that progress has certainly pulled in some more money off the sideline and has opened up on the charts at least a little bit more room to the upside. So from a trade standpoint, and we're seeing some other areas of the market that have struggled to make any progress, some of the defensive names, and also looking at the financials have struggled to make any progress to the upside. So financials right now to us is offering a decent shorting opportunity here. We're looking, especially if rates do come in here in the near term, which I think is not a bad bet. Even though we're long-term bond bears, we think rates go up for a long time in the near term, would not surprise us to see them back up a little bit. And that should be a bit of a headwind in terms of financials, in addition to the technical chart resistance that they're seeing right now. So that's one sector that might be a decent shorting opportunity at this point.
Okay. Dana, from a big picture standpoint, though, how do you view the discrepancy or the value proposition between growth or value? We saw growth dominate for most of the last decade plus. Value started to come into the picture over the shorter period of time as more, I guess, weakness came into the market, or we saw this rotation of money. Now, a lot has been sold off. What do you like better in the longer term, growth or value?
Well, I think you asked the right question. It's a matter of duration. Rewinding, you saw growth a long time, the last decade or even two decades. You saw earlier this year value kind of take the helm and reverse that trend. So I think from a longer term perspective, I would still put value in the lead versus growth, and an intermediate to longer term perspective on a short term basis, you're definitely seeing growth snap back a little bit sharper versus value. I think just because obviously growth got hammered worse than value did. Value held up pretty well until the past couple months when it sold off. So you're seeing a snapback in growth right now. Do I think it's sustainable? No. Does it have a little bit more room to go in the near term? Perhaps, but certainly would not be focusing on that on the growth side of the market for as a target for any, longer term positions that we'd put on.
Yeah, Dana, we did see a lot of the movement out of growth into the value sectors like utilities or like healthcare, and even into energy and the precious metals. But we have seen a lot of those start giving up the ghost and rolling over. When we look at something like the precious metals, gold, silver, the gold mining stocks, they've had a pretty rough go of it the last few months. I know you follow that space. What's your outlook on the precious metals right now?
Yeah, our outlook is the same as it's been, for some time. And that is, we saw the rally in the precious metals complex into 2020. A couple of years ago, we saw that ran up right to pretty much match the high from a decade earlier. So the move over the last couple of years we view as kind of consolidating. That move, that the big rally we saw from 2016 to 2020. So pretty much gathering fuel for what could be the next big up leg in the bull market that began back in the middle of last decade. So we do still see the precious metals complex as a buying, as this pullback as a buying opportunity. We do think that it eventually goes back to the highs, actually hits new highs and puts in that next up leg. So obviously, in the near term, it's like you mentioned, the complex has had a rough go of it, but, I think there's opportunity right now in terms of gold, looking at the GLD, we trade, ETF. So looking at the GLD, we'd be buyers right here around 157, 158, and SLV, getting a little dicey here. We prefer, honestly, to see it hold around that mid 17, the lower 17 range, and bounce up from there. But we're long a little bit of that. We bought some more gold. In terms of the miners, we're back into GDX, the gold miners ETF, and looking for a little bit further downside in the silver miners, but GDX down here around the 25 level, I think, is a pretty good risk-reward entry point back into the miners.
Dana, what would happen on the downside to kind of pull away from that bullish longer-term call? Simply because, look, it has broken down. I understand that they are sold off, but looking at the downside, what would have to happen to turn your bullishness into more longer-term bearishness?
Obviously, price action, which could happen, you know, if GLD, gold can't form some sort of a low here around 157, the mid-150s in GLD. Then certainly have risk down towards 135, which would be ultimately the lowest level I'd like to see GLD hit. If we do break the 150s here in a decisively, then we would trim back our position with the expectations that perhaps those 130s do come into play eventually. So we'll take it step by step right now. I think it's a decent chance we hold here, rally back up into the mid-160s to 170, probably trim some of our position at that point, just in case we do end up failing here. So in the short term, I think it's a good risk-reward entry point here. And if that is the case, I think eventually it becomes a good intermediate to longer-term entry point. Obviously, we'll have some resistance and some the past 2 years of price action to get through. But we have been adding back some exposure here. So I think, like I said, I think it's a good entry point. If it fails, then we'll reassess and potentially hit that 130s level again, and we'll start buying back again there.
Well, Dana, let's shift over to the other commodities. I know we've had a big run earlier in the year and everything from oil to the base metals to the grains. I know you follow the oil sector. You look at copper as a base metal. You look at wheat as one of the lead indicators in the soft commodities. Any thoughts on the rest of the commodity complex, which has rolled over the last couple months? Is it near a bottom as well, or what's your outlook?
Yeah, so commodities seem to be sort of the reverse of the equity market. So we're seeing a counter trend bounce in equities, which eventually will be looking to sell for some more ahead of some more weakness. On the other hand, we're seeing commodities, which had the big spike early in the year. Right now, we're seeing the downside momentum to the downside. So we think there's a little bit more testing certainly to be done on the downside in commodities. So any dead cat bounce here in most of the commodity space, we'd be looking to sell into, or maybe even try some short trades in whether it's the energy space with oil and natural gas, or even the grain. So eventually, much like the precious metals complex, I think we do find a bottom and put in a new up leg to the a longer term bull market. But in the near term, momentum is down. So we'd be sellers into bounces right now in the near term in most of the commodities.
So Dana, when I brought this in, I made the comment that a lot of different sectors, a lot of different markets are kind of trading in lockstep with each other. There seems to be this general sell environment across the board, but then a general rebound environment like we saw today or this week. Is that going to continue in your eyes, these markets broadly being in a way correlated to each other without certain sectors truly taking the lead and completely breaking out either up or down?
Well, I think that type of action, that type of behavior that you describe is very, you know, emblematic of a bear market, you know, a longer term bear market where a lot of the action is emotionally driven. So you tend to see high correlations. You tend to see relative strength break down. You see more or less all the sectors moving together. So I think that's a lot of what we've been seeing is, like I mentioned, sign of a longer-term bear market that's in place. So right now you're seeing short-term swings, and we'll probably continue to see that a little bit as we're seeing some counter-trend action. But overall, our general thesis that is that the longer term bear market is still, you know, in force. And I think it's over, we're eventually going to see more downside action, new lows. So as long as that bear market is pretty much the overriding force, I think you're going to continue to see, you know, those high correlations as opposed to, you know, some high relative strength areas that are, you know, moving to new highs where others are selling off or hitting new lows. I think you're going to see more or less a lot of the asset classes or a lot of the equity sectors pretty much trading in lockstep or at least directionally the same.
Yeah, Dana, and I know you don't follow a lot of the macro news when you're looking at your analysis. You just let the quantitative analysis and technical analysis do the work for you. But a lot of this weakness we're seeing in this bear market action is predicated on the Fed wanting to hurt the demand side of things by raising their interest rates and thus crushing the demand side. They've been effective in doing that. We have seen almost everything pull down except the U.S. dollar. And it seems like on days when the U.S. dollar is down, everything else rallies. We've got another Fed rate hike next week, so we'll see whether that happens. But it plays into the bond market. I know you do follow the bond market. So give us your outlook on, I guess, interest rates and bonds.
Sure. Like we've talked about for a while, the last couple of years, our thought is, you know, the approximate 60-year interest rate cycle did bottom back in 2020, which means, you know, after a 40-year down move, we're probably going to see, if history is a guide, we're probably going to see interest rates generally trend upward for probably several decades, you know, which might sound kind of shocking or alarming to some people, but the cycle has been pretty consistent. And if a low is in place, then yeah, we do expect rates to trend higher for several decades. Obviously, it's not going to be straight up, and potentially we did see a good inflection point, maybe an inflection top last month. It would not surprise us to see rates back up a little bit, but I think that will present the next good shorting opportunity. So on the 10-year, we do have pretty good support at 275, which it held earlier this month. If we and we did add to our shorts there. If we break that level, I think the level where we back up the truck on shorts would be around 230. So if we do see a pullback, we'll certainly be looking to load up on our shorts and the 10-year and even the 30-year at that point. So would not be surprising to us to see that happen. And like I said, if it does, we'll be shorting it, looking for the next big up leg in this new longer-term bull market in interest rates, bear market, and prices.
All right, Dana. Appreciate you kicking off this weekend show. Nice overview of where these markets stand, some of your trading strategies. Again, it seems to be this market, you've used this term before, this is a market to try to hit singles, not home runs in because of the volatility and because it still does seem like we are in this general bear market, which has been around all year long. Dana, thank you again for your time on this weekend show. We'll chat in another couple weeks. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.